You know, earlier this week, we sat down with Ira Glass, creator of This American Life, in anticipation of his first show in Hawaii. We discovered this wasn't his first trip to the islands. That family trip very early in his career did not go well.
There had been a long-standing family vacation in Hawaii that we went on that was I found it to be a really dispiriting vacation. And then I did a really sort of very negative story that's like an entire episode of the show, or it's the opening opening story in the show. Hold on, I'm just going to look this up really fast because now I'm really curious. In an episode that's called this is crazy. Okay, 1995. It's episode number 4.
Wow.
It's December 8th, 1995. Vacation's gone awry. And it opens with host Ira Glass shares photos on the radio of his family vacation in Hawaii. It wasn't a good vacation.
Okay, so fill us in. How bad was it?
Here's how the episode opens. I start the episode by saying, the thing about Hawaii is that before you go, all anybody will say to you is, it's paradise. It's literally the word people use. You tell a friend, I'm going to Hawaii, and then it's like you watch the word enter their brain. The sensate thinking part of them goes away. Their eyes start to glaze. And then as if in a dream, like a scene from The Manchurian Candidate, they say the word. They say, it's paradise. And that's the opening of that episode.
And you were miserable.
I was not happy. Yeah, and then the thing opens up. I'm just reading from the transcript. I brought pictures of my trip to show you. Here's one. This is the condo we stayed in. You could see palm trees through the windows. There's Karen, my sister, on the couch with a Diet Coke. Good Morning America, which I was not really into, was on the TV. Yeah. Where were we?
Waikiki, maybe?
maybe. Yeah. Why is Waikiki the place that you say because it's not it wouldn't be that nice?
Well, that's where all the tourists go.
Oh, got it.
Of course, the Hawaii Tourism Authority wouldn't be very happy with me. But yeah, I mean, a lot of locals joke that, yeah, they don't go there.
Yeah, I would think that would be unpleasant. Yeah. I live in New York, and New Yorkers avoid the places where the tourists are, too.
I'm sorry that I've kind of reached into your recesses and rekindled these bad memories.
It's interesting. I feel like, oh, maybe I should like pull this out and play some of this at the speech I'm going to give in Hawaii. It's so dark. Yeah, I'm skimming through the transcript. It's very dark.
Well, I hope you have a better trip this time.
I'm sure I will. I feel like I'm a lot less dark of a person, weirdly. 25 years later.
Well, I always like to know what are people's impressions when they come through here, because I know after living here for so long now, my first impressions when I came through this island, you know, were very different from you know, my thoughts today. I love this place. I'm just always struck by what people think when they come here.
I mean, it's funny, like the only other time I've been, it was to go to whatever island has Hanalei Bay on it.
Kauai.
And that was really lovely. But it was very much like, you know, we never went anywhere that a tourist wouldn't go. Like, I have no idea what it would be like to live on that island or anywhere in Hawaii. Though I was just talking to a guy a couple weeks ago who lives in Honolulu, who was describing for me what a strange and varied place it is. Like that you have like tent cities, you know, like near, not far from where like all the tourists are, if one simply like has a mind to like take a look at it. And that it's just like that it's like New York. It's like all kinds of different people sort of smushed together.
Yeah, well, you don't even have to go looking for it. I'm sure on this trip, you'll see plenty of that.
Yeah. So that sounds, I'll feel right at home with that. Yeah.
Gosh, you know, I'm just curious because I read that you studied something called semiotics, which is the study of signs, which I didn't even know existed. And we just had somebody in our studios recently who did a book about the signs in Hawaii. Mid-century modern So, yeah. I mean, so how did that color your view of the world?
I mean, it actually really shaped my view of the world a lot. I mean, what semiotics is, it's a very pretentious body of literary theory that has all kinds of parts to it. But the part that I studied had to do with narrative. So it had to do with how stories are made. And there were books that I read in college, honestly, that really shaped my ideas about how to make a story. And so for me, it wasn't an abstract thing at all. It was very, very helpful. What semiotics is interested in comparison to like an English literature class, is it's interested in the question, how does a story give you pleasure? And so I remember there was a book that I read by a writer named Roland Barthes, French writer, where he basically, it's called S/Z, and he basically takes apart a short story, like a short piece of fiction that somebody else had written, you know, like a beautiful old classic piece of like short story writing, and like a 20-page story, and he spends an entire book taking it apart phrase by phrase and paragraph by paragraph. And what he's interested in is not like the things you think of from English class, like what is it the author's intent or what does it say about the author's time or whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff. What he's interested in is how does the story kind of get its hooks into you, and why do you keep reading? Why do you keep turning the page? Why do you keep watching a film? Like, why do you keep watching a TV show? Like, all of that. Like, what is it that's pulling you in and pulling you forward and making you want to stick around for more? And then he also is very interested in the question of when a story's good, what is it that gives you that feeling of like, ah, that was so good. Like, that was such a good episode of Succession. Like, what are they doing that gives you that feeling? And when it fails to happen, what has failed to happen? And so for somebody who's interested in making stories like me, like I feel like it really gave me like a toolbox of moves and also of ways to understand when something isn't working, what's missing. And it was just enormously helpful.
It's like the psychology behind the story, I guess.
It's the psychology, but even psychology is like just part of it. In a way, psychology is like, it's not even as deep as that. It's like how do you write a first paragraph so somebody wants to go to the second paragraph? And one of the things that we do in our show actually all the time, I stole from that book. And that is Roland Barthes talks about this thing he calls the proerretic code. And all it is, it's again, very pretentious literary theory. But what it is, all it means is that when you have any sequence of actions going, like this happened and then this next thing happened and then this next thing happened and then this next, any sequence of actions, no matter how banal it is, if you just get that started, people will stick around just to hear what's going to happen next. Like, that's part of the pleasure of it. It's like you just hear like, oh, this happened and this happened, this and this guy did this and he did this next. You just want to hear like, oh, you can tell that the story has a destination and you just want to find out what the destination is. And so people who have heard This American Life and also the other shows we make like Serial and S-Town, they know that like when our shows start, we don't say at the beginning, like today on our show, like I worked on All Things Considered, you know, the beginning of All Things Considered. We have a billboard where they say today in the news, here's what's coming up in this hour or whatever. Like, we don't do that. In the first minute of the show, what we try to do is say, we just try to get forward motion going and saying like, so-and-so is in this situation and then they did this and then they did this, with the thought that that's going to pull you in and pull you forward kind of into the dream of the story more effectively than saying, here's what we're going to do. Because people don't care what you're going to do, really. They just want to be good, you know? And so it's like, it's tricks like that that I learned from studying semiotics.
Well, your stuff is anything but highbrow.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, it's so quirky. I was trying to, wrap my head around, you know, what you do. And I've been listening to some things. And by the way, I caught your poultry show on Thanksgiving.
thank you. That's a very old show.
Yeah, well, I do remember the Chicken Man, so that was fun. Some good chuckles.
Yeah,
but I was trying to wrap my head around what you do, and you know, I actually Googled you to see what you look like because I just hear you on the radio, and
yeah,
I was thinking it's kind of like Alfred E. Newman meets Martha Stewart because you just chew into something, but you have this wacky approach.
I guess. I mean, the way that I think about it is like what we're doing is we're just telling stories. You know what I mean? And sometimes the stories are sort of small and personal. And sometimes the stories are about big things like, you know, the protesters in Hong Kong and we'll go and hang out with them. Or, you know, what's happening at the U.S. border with Mexico and we'll go there. But what all the stories have in common, or sometimes they're about, like, you know, somebody's imaginary friend, Duck, when they were, you know, a kid. You know, but what the stories all have in common is, like, they have a plot. The plot, things happen to the person. You know, there's surprises, there's plot twists. You sort of come to care about somebody in the story, and you just want to see what's going to happen. It's using the tools of narrative to do journalism. Like, the stories are true, and then a lot of it, like, I think the reason why you're using the word quirky is, like, a lot of it really is just my taste and the taste of the other producers. Like, kind of whatever we think would be fun to talk about, you know, that's what we put up.
That was public radio personality Ira Glass, host of This American Life. We'll hear more of our talk a little later in the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break.